Free Talk Live. It's your show. You can take control of the airwaves toll-free, 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line for you, 1-800-259-9231. It's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
You can join us online, freetalklive.com. All the features on our site, they are completely free. So do enjoy those on us. That, again, freetalklive.com. I say we start things out tonight by jumping into the email box. Let's go to one from Matthew. He emails in, "Hey, I know you run Free Talk Live yourself, broadcasting from your home via satellite. I'm sending this email to ask you for some more information or links to sources of information on how to start a cell-phoned and operated radio show. Also, information on the satellite aspect of how you can broadcast from your home would be welcome." And he goes on, and we'll get to the rest of it here in a moment, but as far as how you can start your own radio show, probably the best way to do it is to start your own podcast.
Yeah, go to podcastalley.com, and they have step-by-step instructions on how to become a podcaster. They have all the information on what you would need to do podcasting, and essentially you can start a show and get people to listen to it online. They can it'll be sent to their mailbox by RSS feed, or they can go to your website and pick it up.
Right. Now, of course, there are something like 33,000 or 34,000 other podcasts out there in the world for you to compete with. But luckily, a lot of them are niche. So, you know, there might be a scuba podcast or, you know, a few scuba podcasts. They're not all general audience talk shows. And, of course, if what you're looking to do is go into general audience sort of talk radio, then still, I think the best way to do it is to start your own podcast, just to get the hang of talking into a microphone and get beyond that initial fear, that sort of startup fear that you inevitably will have to overcome. Of course, an internship at a radio station isn't a bad idea as well. That's how I got started. There's no quick path in this business. There is no, there's no guaranteed solution. You know, there's no...
It's so funny. You hear the program directors of the major stations owned by the major companies complaining about there's no new talent in the talent pool.
Yeah.
Oh, there's no talent out there in the talent pool. Well, that's because you guys aren't paying them anymore.
That's true.
You're not paying people to come up through the ranks and do local talk in smaller and mid-sized markets so that they can move up to local talk in large markets so they can go on to a syndicated talk.
Now, that's bad news and good news all at the same time. The reason why it's bad news is because, well, you can't just walk through the door of a radio station and give them a good demo tape and have them hire you. The good news is no one else is getting hired either. So if you can really differentiate yourself, if you can really bring something to the table that's unusual and special and unique and catches somebody's attention, then they're more likely to take notice of you because of that. There's not a whole lot of competition out there.
There are some small and mid-sized markets that do, talk radio and people that want a talk radio host to work for them, but there's not that many. There's not nearly as many as there used to be, and I would say that chances are almost slim and none of doing it the way we did it. It's one thing that you happen to have enough money that you could have gone and not worked for 2 or 3 years, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like you had that as a added bonus. Most people don't have that. You worked full-time making telephone calls every single day. How many do you think you made a day to radio station talk host?
50.
50 a day to program directors at different radio stations across America. Okay. So 5 days a week, maybe 4 days. We'll give you a day off a week, although I know that you have worked 5 days a week plus Saturday and all that stuff. So, you know, 4 days a week, 50 calls, that's 200 calls a week to program directors. Are you prepared to do that? Not many people are capable of doing it.
Well,
secondly,
now, hold on. Slow down.
Secondly,
okay.
Your co-host is a radio sales professional.
A guru.
I wouldn't go that far, but at the very least, I've been doing radio sales since 1999.
Yeah.
So I have that experience in that particular arena, so we're bringing money in perhaps sooner than someone else would, because to get a radio sales professional on board, you'd have to be prepared to pay
them in advance, yeah.
And I can't imagine what somebody would start at. You wouldn't be able to offer me $30,000 a year to start.
Sure.
You would have, you had to come in at 50 or 60.
Right.
And then I would have started, and I don't think we're going to make 50 or 60 in our first year.
Heck no.
Not even close.
No way. So it's a slow process, and it seems to me like these days there are two ways in beyond just, magically being plucked from the world of podcasting by some program director that wants to just bestow upon you a, uh, you know, a radio show.
Mm-hmm.
So it's easy to start your own podcast. You don't have to ask anybody's permission for that. That's no big deal. Get in and start doing that. In fact, he says he does that here. He's going to do that in a few moments, and that's good. It's a good start. But to actually break into the world of radio, of course, some people would argue, well, why even bothering breaking into radio? It's just going to go out, you know, by the wayside eventually. I don't necessarily agree.
I don't think it's going to go by the wayside, and I think that radio's got quite a few years left in it.
Yeah.
You know, at this point, you might be talking about, there's all kinds of other delivery systems that may very well be going into automobiles, but you're still at the steam engine stage of, you know, internet radio being available.
Sure,
in cars.
But I wouldn't take it for granted at the same time. I wouldn't take that steam engine phase for granted, considering how fast technology moves.
Things do move quickly.
And that the FCC isn't necessarily in the way as much with the internet. Nonetheless, there seem to be two real distinct ways to break into radio, and that is you go about the slow way and get an internship at a local radio station, your local talk station, and do whatever it is they want you to do for a while. As you get to know people, you get to know the program director, you get to know the staff, you do things right, you don't screw up, you show up on time and all that, and then eventually, once you've been there long enough, and I don't know how long enough is, I don't know what that is, okay? For me, it was 6 years before, or 5 years before I ended up getting my talk show. But I approached them. You can't expect them to approach you. It's just like any other job. If you want it, you've got to show them how bad you want it. And that in today's world of radio, that means that you are willing to do it for free. Better yet, bring some advertisers to the table. If you can pull that off, they'll give it to you no problem. They'll
absolutely
give you that spot no problem. The other way is to pay for the time. That's the quick and dirty way to do it. That's the way that you can get on the air without having any experience whatsoever. Of course, it'll probably be on a second-rate radio station as far as, you know, the top news talk station in your area probably isn't going to sell you an hour on the weekends, but the third or fourth place one or second or third place one probably will. So if you've got the pockets for something like that, then you can get in it that way, but at the same time, if you enter that way, it's hard to build respect. The program director and general manager will like you because you're helping pay their bills, but they won't necessarily respect what you're doing. It's jumping over the paying your dues process. And in the radio business, paying your dues is a really important thing. It's something that everybody has to go through if they really want to rise through the ranks. And as my mentor told me, it's 10 to 15 years before you actually start making something in radio. I'm on my 10th year. I'm still not making anything in radio.
Well, you're also contending with the additional issue of being young. The world doesn't like to pay young people.
And he was really speaking from a getting paid by someone standpoint. I mean, I've got money coming in, but it's all going back into the show. So technically, right, there is money coming in. Nonetheless, we'll continue with his email here. He says, I live on the West Coast in California. I've always loved talk shows and end up debating and going back and forth with my friends on news topics. I want to start a podcast first of myself and two of my friends co-hosting a podcast talk show about politics and news. I would call myself a libertarian, though not as much as yourself. My friend is a conservative agnostic, and my other friend is a socialist heathen. Listening to your show has inspired me to test the waters of starting my own show, and between the three of us, maybe I can get a few people to stop and consider things from a more libertarian view instead of the normal left versus right that you see so much. Any assistance you're willing to offer is welcome, along with any opinions you may have on my ideas. Until then, I continue to listen to Free Talk Live and absorb more of the message of liberty. The other thing I would note, based on what he said, is if you're going to go into it with other people, which is a great idea, the reason I did it was, first and foremost, I just didn't want to listen to a monologue show. I don't want to do that show. I don't want to listen to that show. And if you're not comfortable with what you're putting out, the product that you're putting out on the air, you probably shouldn't be doing it. You have to feel good about what you're doing. And also, if you're working with other people, make sure you own the show.
Right.
Don't enter a partnership with that socialist and that other guy, because then they might get into, you know, there's going to inevitably be a conflict, some sort of disagreement, where the socialist wants to take the show in one direction, and you want to take the show in another direction, and that's going to end up in just total self-destruction.
Right. That show's got to be entirely yours, and you've got to believe that, because if the one guy gives up, then what happens to the show?
Exactly.
Is it over because, you know, somebody decided to let go?
1-800-259-9231. Hope that helps. We'll take your calls coming up here. Eric, Robert, take your calls about anything you want. This is Free Talk Live.
One day soon, the U.S. dollar, otherwise known as the Federal Reserve Note, will be recognized in the global marketplace for its intrinsic value. Nothing. On that day, you will be bewildered, angry, and impoverished, or you will be calm, confident, and prosperous. The deciding factor between your two possible futures is what you do in this moment. Go to D2Z.org and learn how to survive and thrive during a U.S. dollar crisis. D2Z.org.
Do you feel like you should be free to live your life however you want, so long as your actions don't harm anyone else? There's good news. You are not alone. Thousands of people like you are going to move to New Hampshire so we can reclaim our lost liberties. Be part of the Second American Revolution. Join the Free State Project. You can learn more at freestateproject.org or call toll-free 1-888-532-4604. That's 1-888-532-4604 or visit freestateproject.org.
Ted Anderson from Midas. July 3rd, 2007, gold 656. Ounce gold coins can be purchased for 677.28, 334.20 for half, 167.10 for quarter. That's 677.28, 334.20, and 167.10. 70% of China's 1 trillion reserves are in dollar, now purchasing 250,000 barrels of oil per day from Iran in euro. Japanese refiners buy 550,000 barrels, switching dollar to yen. Bad news for U.S. currency. China and Japan hold large positions in dollar. Trading equals permanent loss. Dollars fall into 65% of euro, erosion accelerates. Countries despise imperialistic policy of U.S., loss of confidence causing more selling. GAO is warning about the debt spiraling out of control. Why attack Iran? Jerome O'Corsi's Iran leads attack against the U.S. dollar document spells it out. Call 800-686-2237. The value of your hard-earned money is being destroyed in a global game of chess. Call 800-686-2237 for Corsi's report today. That's 800-686-2237.
You may be sitting there right now wondering how you're going to make it through the day, the night, the next plane flight, job interview, or social event. Maybe you'll have a drink. Maybe you'll take another pill. Maybe you're so anxious and depressed that you just really can't help yourself. Do you worry yourself sick, beat yourself up, or put yourself down? Anxiety and depression are two of the most common reasons people take prescription medication, abuse alcohol, and make excuses for why their life isn't working. This isn't the real you. You used to be happy and have confidence and dreams, remember? Well, it's time to get it back. You owe it to yourself to pick up the phone and call for a powerful free tape that could help you get your life back. You want to feel better. You just don't know what to do. I'm Lucinda Bassett, founder of the Midwest Center for Stress and Anxiety. Please, let me help you help yourself.
For your free tape that could change your life, call 1-800-422-0488. That's 1-800-422-0488. 1-800-422-0488.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer, and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning, and the poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now, it's cancer's turn to die with LaceMed Inc.'s patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, call 702-953-0267 or visit www.lasemedinc.com. Call 702-953-0267.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and log on at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. It's your show. You bring up whatever you want. Toll free, 800-259-9231. The SACL CAI toll free line for you. That's 1-800-259-9231. It's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
You can join us online. FreeTalkLive.com is the place to go. All the features on the site, totally free. Shrine of female listeners included. The dozens and dozens of ladies who've taken the time to send us their validated photograph and prove that they listen to the show. See what I mean by heading on over to shrine.freetalklive.com. That's shrine.freetalklive.com. And did you know 9 out of 10 lawsuits in the world are filed right here in the United States? Any number of lawsuits, court orders, or greedy bureaucrats could leave you and your family penniless. And keep your assets.net They're experts in sheltering your wealth. You'll see KeepYourAssets.net can help you be protected against those that wish to take your assets. That's KeepYourAssets.net. As we go to the phone calls, phones are loaded up. Let's head over to Eric in Vancouver. You're on Free Talk Live. Eric?
Hey, guys.
Hey, what's on your mind?
Well, my main topic I wanted to talk about is immigration.
Sure.
But on Monday, I kind of heard the discussion, which upset me a bit, because Ian seemed to believe that you couldn't be a libertarian without being completely against the government.
No. I said that you have to be against initiated force to be a libertarian.
Which is the government. The government is initiated force.
Well, if you want to go ahead and hire a protection agency, and if you want to call them the government, then that's your business. But yes, if you are in favor of initiated force, then you can't possibly be a libertarian.
Because
you
somehow, the non-aggression pact in Ian's mind is linked with being a libertarian.
Yes, that's correct.
Well, I went to the Wikipedia article, and one of the sections it said was that basically a consequentialist libertarian,
right.
Like
the rest of the world doesn't agree with Ian. It's just Ian that thinks that.
Yeah. Well, the rest of the libertarians agree with me, the real ones.
Oh, the anarchists.
No, the real libertarians.
Okay, well, if this is an argument of semantics, then from the ninth post-World War II, most people assume libertarian was small government. I mean, that's
most people don't know what libertarians are, actually.
Okay, well, whatever. I just wanted to get my thoughts on that. I'll go to my main subject, which is the immigration. Now, we're all libertarians here, and we all want free movement of labor. However, I agree with that in theory, but in practice, I'm not sure I would, because in the West here, we have unions and minimum wages and the labor market's highly regulated, so I'm not sure we would exactly benefit by the free movement of labor.
Now, you can see your way to getting rid of the welfare state, right? I mean, you can see that would be okay. Now, you can see the possible elimination of the welfare state, but you cannot see the possible elimination of the union's influence on local and state politics?
Well, I'd like to see it, but I mean, I'm a realist, and I realize it's not going to happen.
Well, that's not realism. I don't think it's realistic that we're going to stop immigrants or that we're going to do away with welfare either.
Well, so I'm cutting and running because I'm defeatist? Well, I'm just saying it's not going to happen for a while.
Okay,
so
that's different. To say it's not going to happen versus it's not going to happen for a while, that's a completely different statement.
Okay, but why should we support the free movement of labor in theory, but in practice, when we realize that there's not a free market for the free labor to work in?
Well, so because as a libertarian, I don't support the initiation of force to achieve political or social goals.
And
so I don't support throwing people in jail cells for crossing an imaginary line in the sand.
And mostly labor is free in the United States as far as decisions where to work and that kind of thing. There are certainly some states where that is not true. You pick your larger states, and that's mostly not true. Illinois, New York, California, those are very labor-controlled states. But look at Texas, Florida, Nevada. There's some very large labor markets out there that are almost entirely right to work.
Right, well, and the reason why you want to support immigration is because you want new people coming into the country to create new demand and fill supply at the same time, of course. And it's just a pro-freedom thing to do, is to let people cross borders freely. At the same time, you should be working not towards controlling immigration, but working towards getting rid of welfare, working towards abolishing the minimum wage and that sort of thing.
I'm not against, in theory, I'm for free immigration. And in practice, I'm for, like, a limited amount of immigration. I'm not against immigration entirely, but, like I said, it's much easier. They can't be coming and creating new jobs if the labor market's regulated and the economy is regulated, because then the price system and supply and demand don't work properly.
Well, it seems to be doing okay. I mean, obviously the government is interfering in the marketplace, but the marketplace is pretty powerful force, and we seem to be absorbing all these immigrants just fine.
Right. The immigrants are working, and, 20 million of them have beset our controlled labor system here, and somehow, what we've managed to get out of it is relatively cheap vegetables and fruits and those kind of things, getting our lawns done at reasonable price. Middle-class Americans being able to live above their means, the government having stolen most of the value of their money, are still able to get something out of that money because they have cheap labor that's, pouring across the borders.
Eric, final thoughts?
Well, I live in Canada, which has a less open labor market, and especially in Europe where it's insane. So it might be a bit better in the United States, but if the amount of immigration that happened to the United States happened in Canada, we would collapse. Not because immigration does it, but because the government restricts the labor market so highly.
Exactly. So fight the government, not the immigrants. Thanks for the call, Eric. We appreciate it. 800-259-9231. Let's go to a different Eric. This one's in Michigan. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Eric.
Hi, guys.
Hey, what's on your mind?
I'd like to make a point about what the last caller said, then I'd like to ask you about arbitration courts.
Certainly.
I think it's kind of elitist and actually quite disgusting to say that you want to see the unions go away. I think that's very
did
worker,
I say that?
I think it would work in the free market.
I think, Mark, I don't think you said that, Mark.
No,
what did you say?
I think that the unions are as relevant and important in the labor market as, as say, the Lions Club is to the sort of charitable contribution market. I just don't think they should be allied in any way, shape, or form with the local or state government.
Laws shouldn't support unions, nor should they prohibit
unions. Any more than the Boy Scouts should be able to pass laws on how you live your life.
Okay. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that works.
Okay.
As to private arbitration courts, in a free market system, would they be able to strip people of life and liberty?
Well, I guess it would depend on exactly what you were referring to. For instance, in a contract that somebody had entered that specifically pointed out that if they violated the contract, they could have their liberty stripped from them, then that would be the contract that they signed. The arbitrator would simply, work under that contract. With some situation where you've got a madman, violent, psychopathic killer on the loose, that individual, it could be very easily argued that he has forfeited his right to life and liberty by taking away others. So in that case, I think pretty much everybody would feel pretty justified in those sorts of actions.
I'm not really certain how that works, though. Like, let's say that I killed someone that you cared about. Could you take me to a court, and then if I was found guilty, could they execute me or put me in jail for the rest of my life?
I think that, and that's an excellent question, and it's kind of a detailed answer that I myself am still wrapping my head around, so being honest with you here, basically, as I understand it so far, and I'll be better at this in a year from now, trust me, but as I understand it so far, if you were to not come to court, like if you were to not voluntarily come to the arbitrator, because arbitrators will be doing things on a voluntary basis, then you would be totally ostracized by society. And, of course, the next time you people would be very, very wary of who you are and what you were doing, and probably there would be some vigilante justice going on if you didn't come to the arbitrator. Inevitably, if you tried killing somebody else again, you'd probably end up getting killed yourself.
Probably so. Can you bring me back? I've got another point.
Sure.
I'd like to comment on it a little bit, too. So.
Yep. 800-259-9231, talking arbitration and psychopathic killers, or whatever it is that's on your mind as well. 800-259-9231, the SACL CAI toll-free line for you. This is Free Talk Live.
Are you concerned about the high cost of prescription drugs? Since January of 2006, RxDrugCard.com members have saved an average of $33 per prescription fill. That's over 46% savings. The average savings for generic drugs was over 71%. RxDrugCard.com is the only major discount prescription drug plan that offers a price lookup page, so you can get an idea of your discounted price before you enroll. RxDrugCard.com is for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. There are no age restrictions, all prescriptions are covered, and 95% of all pharmacies in the U.S. participate, including Walmart, Walgreens, CVS Pharmacy, and many more. With RxDrugCard.com, you will save immediately with no messy forms or paperwork. Membership fees start at only $4.50 per month and include a 30-day unconditional money-back guarantee. Visit us at www.rxdrugcard.com or call us at 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461. Do it today.
When my son started having behavior problems, the total transformation techniques were like the instruction manual on how to deal with him. We got immediate results.
Ever wish your kid came with an instruction manual when he's disrespectful, defiant, or even abusive? Do you know how to fix it? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'll show you how to change your child's behavior right now with the Total Transformation. The program then helps you fix every behavior problem under the sun. Defiance, backtalking, lying, acting out in school, even problems with ADD and ADHD. There's no screaming, no fighting, no frustration. The Total Transformation is the program I've used for over 30 years to solve even the worst behavior problems. Your child will listen to you again, and you'll get peace and sanity back into your home. I guarantee it.
Call now and get how to turn your child's attitude around in 1 minute or less free with your order. 1-800-373-0402. 1-800-373-0402. Call now. 1-800-373-0402. 1-800-373-0402.
Want to know the secret to finding a shop that can keep your car running like new? Find the cleanest shop in town, where cleaning is top priority. Not talking about clean floors, but better shops have those too. I mean shops that have the best training, equipment, and chemistry to clean every air, fuel, and fluid system in your vehicle. Keep it clean, and you don't have to keep replacing parts. Find your clean shop at bgfindashop.com. That's bgfindashop.com.
What's better than a tiny tiger in your tank? A tornado under your hood. A tornado is an easy-to-install, maintenance-free air twister designed to increase gas mileage. I personally commissioned independent tests to verify results in 6 vehicles, and all of them gained MPG with tornado. With today's gas prices, it makes sense to cage the gas-saving power of a tornado. Visit tornadoair.com or go to Pep Boys, Napa, or AutoZone today.
Looking for a new cooling system? Enjoy comfort this summer season with a new Carrier or Kenmore system from a name you can trust. With unbeatable pricing, year-round maintenance and repair, plus our satisfaction guarantee, it's time you called Sears at 1-800-241-0746 for a free in-home consultation. Ask about our special financing terms. A new, more efficient system can keep your family comfortable year-round and may help you save money on high energy costs. You can count on Sears for the quality materials and installation you have come to expect for over 100 years. Call now for your free in-home consultation. Offer ends 9/30/07. Subject to applicant credit worthiness. Installation provided by Sears authorized licensed contractors. Licensing information available upon request. Energy efficiency may vary depending on your home and climate. Call now for your new cooling system from Sears and ask about our special financing terms. Call 1-800-241-0746. That's 1-800-241-0746.
This is the GCN Radio Network, home to hard-hitting talk radio.
This is Free Talk Live. It's your show. You can take control of the airwaves toll-free at 1-800-259-9231. The SACL CAI toll-free line, that's 800-259-9231. It's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
You can join us online at freetalklive.com. All the features on our site are totally free. So, and those features do include the bulletin board system. About 250,000 posts. We're getting close to that number. We've got over 1,500 people interacting. Lots to talk about, serious issues and fun stuff. You'll find it all for free at bbs.freetalklive.com. That is bbs.freetalklive.com. And pop quiz. What do Washington politics and libertarianism have in common? Very little. But the Prometheus Institute at readpi.com is looking to change that by implementing practical and innovative solutions to today's most pressing policy issues. Visit readpi.com today. That's readpi.com. As we go back to Eric in Michigan, you're back on Free Talk Live. Eric in Michigan.
Seems is that if you had private arbitration courts and they couldn't issue, let's say, death sentences or life sentences, that people who had very little, the lumpen proletariat, would just rob, you know, as much as they could because they have very little to lose. You know, if you take them to court, the worst you can do is take away what they have, which is nothing.
Well,
and
I'm not quite
take away their life.
Yes, I understand where you're coming from.
We need to touch on restitution.
We need to touch on restitution. We also need to touch on the death penalty.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I would say, first off, let's put together a scenario. You said my mom gets killed by somebody. So, we convict him? What's the what's the statistical chance that it's true, that we actually convicted the right guy?
Oh, no, please, I don't want to go into that. I'm completely against the death penalty. This is just for example.
Gotcha. So, let's just say, instead of, capital punishment, let's just say imprisonment.
Imprisonment. Okay.
Right. The critical difference between what we have today and the free market, and what we could even have with a more with a different governmental system, is that we really need to get towards more restitution-based justice. Because in the current system, we've got a situation where people are victimized twice. So if your mom is robbed by some criminal at gunpoint, and then they catch the criminal and put that criminal in a jail cell, then your mom gets robbed again by the government in order to pay to put that criminal in a jail cell. Whereas in a more free market environment, the criminal would be, or in even in just a different government environment, again, the criminal would be then forced to pay restitution in order to make good on his crime. So he'd have to pay back your mom, and he'd have to pay her back a certain percentage on top of that in order to, again, make good for her not having that money in that period of downtime. And so it wouldn't matter if the criminal didn't have a bunch of assets. If he had assets, then it'd be easy for him to pay it off. But if he didn't have assets, then he'd have to work in some sort of a, you know, work camp, or he'd be released on his own recognizance if he was of a, you know, recognizable sort of character. If he was of good standing in the community, then he could just send a percentage of his paycheck in order to, you know, in order to pay it off. If necessary, they could incarcerate him into some sort of a work prison where he could pay off his debt, not to society, but his debt to that, to his victim and the people connected to that victim. So restitution is a major deterrent to crime, major deterrent.
Doesn't that give the rich a pass? Because, I mean, I think a lot of people would argue, and I would personally argue, that there's some crimes where no amount of money can make up for that. If someone killed my parents, I don't care how much money they have. I don't care if it's Bill Gates who did it. I want to see the man in prison for the rest of his life. And because he has so much money, there's no way he will be. So he gets off free, whereas if it was someone who was really poor who had killed my parents,
well, it seems to me that what you're arguing for is what we have today, and that is the rich people get a pass. O.J. Simpson rings a bell. But in regards to what you're saying here, it would necessarily be a pass. I mean, would you rather you not get anything from the death of your mom, or would you rather just see this guy sit and rot in prison? I mean, I think I'd rather get something out of it. I mean, it wouldn't make me whole again, but it'd be better to have some sort of partial compensation than nothing whatsoever.
That's true, but it seems as if under that system it would be, you know, built into the law, whereas now everyone's equal under the law, supposedly. And I would say a lot of times it works that way. Not all the time, of course, there's miscarriages of justice, but at least it's not built into the law system as it would be in that system.
Right, and that's Ian's sort of completely free market justice system.
Please give me the sane version.
Well, the sane version is pretty much what we've got going today with more restitution. I don't think that prisons should be able to profit off of their convicts because, well, they already are, and at this point we have an institutionalized system for incarcerating people and keeping them in as long as possible because they're essentially very cheap labor that's unlikely to come to work with a hangover. I don't think that prisons should be able to profit from their convicts. I think that it should cost money for society to incarcerate those people. But at the same time, I do think that victims should be compensated and compensated well by people that perpetrate those crimes.
Yeah, but Mark, what about the prisoner that doesn't want to work?
You know, I'll tell you what. The prison system's really, really good at taking care of people that don't want to do something. I mean, really good at it.
What if the person doesn't want to work?
Fine, don't let them work.
Well, then you're not going to get any compensation.
Well, then they have to sit in a cell.
Well, the answer is you don't feed them, Mark. If they don't want to work, they don't get food.
Well, I'm saying you can handle the they don't want to work scenario very easily by just taking away their freedom.
Right, I understand that.
There's levels and variations of freedom that people who have not been in prison probably don't realize at all. Mm-hmm. When you start putting a guy in a box for 26 or 23 hours a day, and you know, maybe he gets to go out once a week for exercise, right, and that exercise includes walking around in a 10-by-10 cage of grass.
Now, Eric, as you probably know, our co-host here, Mark, he spent 9 years in prison on a murder charge. So you would like to see, you would have liked to have seen Mark spend his entire life in prison?
Certainly not. I think that was a miscarriage of justice, and
I see. Oh, I see. But if it was your mom and you thought Mark killed your mom, even though he didn't actually kill your mom, I bet you'd feel a little differently, wouldn't you?
I would have certainly hoped that I would have gotten the facts in that case and I would have realized who the killer was and realized that Mark was simply an accomplice.
Well, in this particular scenario, our system was so messed up at that time, mm-hmm, that you know, we were locking up so many people due to crack that and currently they do this whole plea bargain system where they dangle in front of you the opportunity to get out of jail very quickly and easily. You know, and if you take a plea bargain, if I had known that I was pleading to a 25-year sentence as opposed to the 3.5 that they told me I do, like I might have chosen to do things a little differently.
I'd also like to point out that in a free market system, it's more likely that justice would be more accurate, because in the governmental system, there's virtually no payback. There's no way, not payback's not the word I'm looking for, there's no way to punish those overzealous prosecutors, for instance, or the judges that are responsible. They are the ones who are responsible, but they are never held responsible for putting innocent people in jail cells. Whereas in a arbitration situation, the arbitrator would get its reputation based on the fact that it was convicting the right people. And if it was found out that an arbitrator convicted the wrong guy, they would have to be the ones paying restitution to the person they wrongly convicted, which could, you know, bankrupt them and put them out of business.
Yeah.
So they have a very, very important fiscal incentive to make sure their T's are crossed, their I's are dotted, and that they have the right person in their custody. Because if not, then no one's going to trust them with their cases in the future.
Well,
and that's something that the government system does not offer.
The thing is, though, it seems like a contradiction, because if a court of arbitration has the power to put someone away for the rest of their life, doesn't that court, therefore, have to be just as tyrannical as a government would in dishing out its justice?
Well, again, I'm still wrapping my mind around this, but as I understand it, the court, first of all, if it has the right person, that person has violated someone else's right to life or liberty, and so therefore, it's not the court that has the power to do it necessarily, it's the fact that that person gave up his or her right to life. One could also make the argument that court should be totally voluntary-based, and in which case, then the court does not have that power, and that individual would have to agree to a particular sentence.
Precisely. And so it seems as if they couldn't have the power, because if they did have the power to lock up someone for the rest of their life and they didn't show up, therefore they would have to hunt them down and lock them up for the defense. So it inherently cannot have the power to lock anyone up for their life, or for the rest of their lives, or for any time.
Well, again, it would depend on the system. Again, in some cases, some would argue that they should have that power. Others would argue that, again, the person, the criminal, so-called, would have to consent to whatever sentence the arbitrator hands down. And, Eric, thanks for the challenging questions. We appreciate it. 800-259-9231. In the absence of that consent, considering the arbitrator would have reputation and the criminal probably doesn't, and it would look bad if the criminal didn't want to come to court, for instance. People would ostracize that individual, and he would be punished by, really, for once, punished by society in that particular case. Then again, some people would say, well, he gave up his right to life, so therefore no big deal if a bounty hunter picks him up.
Hello, friends. Alex Jones here. I want you to imagine waking up one morning to find out you've been burglarized. An intruder has taken your personal possessions. Credit card numbers, social security cards, banking information, and more, all in the hands of a total stranger. What's worse is you realize he got it through your front door because you left it unlocked. Every time you walk away from your computer, leaving your internet connection on, you are virtually inviting hackers, criminals, and Big Brother to access your personal information. Put a stop to this right now with the Net7 Network Security Switch from Net7 Technologies. Turn your internet on and off with one simple switch. There's no software to load, and it's so easy to install. Right now, you can order your Net7 Security Switch from Net7 Technologies for only $39.95. For a limited time, receive free shipping with your order. Visit net7tech.com. That's net, the number 7, tech.com, and start protecting yourself today.
DVD, books, music, instruments, periodicals, computers, software, electronic, photo, cell phone, office product, home and garden, bed and bath, furniture, kitchen, pet supply, automotive, hardware, apparel, shoes, jewelry, grocery, healthcare, sports and outdoors, toys, games, used and more. It's a department store at your fingertips. Amazon.freetalklive.com. Get all your shopping done, a great deal, delivery to your door, and a percentage of your purchase will go to Free Talk Live when you enter Amazon through Amazon.freetalklive.com.
Do you feel like you should be free to live your life however you want, so long as your actions don't harm anyone else? There's good news. You are not alone. Thousands of people like you are going to move to New Hampshire so we can reclaim our lost liberties. Be part of the Second American Revolution. Join the Free State Project. You can learn more at freestateproject.org or call toll-free 1-888-532-4604. That's 1-888-532-4604 or visit freestateproject.org.
Morning, neighbor.
Hey, shouldn't you be at work?
I am. As a matter of fact, I pulled another all-nighter.
What do you mean?
Well, I'm working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Well, at least I'm making money 24/7, but I never have to go to work.
So what do you do?
Not very much at all now. About a month ago, I heard about this website. It's got a funny name. It's DidYouRobBillGates.com.
That is funny.
Yeah, you can earn $1,200 to $12,000 a week starting the very first week.
Oh, is that how you bought that new mower?
Yeah, and the motorcycle I've always wanted, too. You should log on. Find out how you can become financially free.
So what was that website?
It's www.DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Just wait, I'll go get a pen so I can write that down.
You don't need to write it down. It's easy to remember. DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Yeah, DidYouRobBillGates.com. That is easy.
It's easy, and the money is awesome.
Government is best, which governs least.
Wake up and smell the fascism.
Being in government means never having to say you're sorry.
What part of unconstitutional do you not understand, George?
In today's world full of tyranny and injustice, sometimes it seems the only thing we still have is our freedom of speech. Exercise your freedom of speech by purchasing your choice of hundreds of different Liberty stickers, from humorous to serious, at LibertyStickers.com. LibertyStickers.com can even customize your own bumper stickers. It's time to stand up for what you believe. Invest in your freedom. Get your stickers at LibertyStickers.com for your family, friends, and community. Go to LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. That's 877-873-9626. And express your freedom of speech today. Call 877-873-9626. That's 877-873-9626.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And get interactive at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. It's your show. You can take control of the airwaves toll-free. 1-800-259-9231 is the SACL CAI toll-free line. It's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
That's 1-800-259-9231. Join us online, freetalklive.com, the place to go. All the features on the site are totally free, so enjoy those on us. And if you like the show, you want to help support Free Talk Live, then we could use your vote. Head over to vote.freetalklive.com. We are actually in second place now, so we really need your vote more so than ever. Head over to vote.freetalklive.com. We only ask you to do it once a month, and it only takes you less than a minute. All you need, your email address, won't be sold or spammed, and it makes a big difference for us when you vote for the show, because the more votes we have, the more likely we'll be number one. And if we're number one, the more likely more people will come across this program and thereby the message of freedom and liberty. So head over to vote.freetalklive.com. Let's continue with the phone calls. Go to Rob in Georgia on the amplifier line. Rob, what's on your mind?
Hey, just was happy to meet you guys last week.
Yes, it was good. Good meeting you, sir. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, talking about free market justice.
Yes.
I think you did, Eric, something of a disservice. In terms of, if let's say someone of Bill Gates' means murdered his parents or someone close to him.
Yeah.
It seems like a very unlikely scenario, but I suppose it could happen.
Crime of passion, that sort of thing.
Sure. I mean, the wealthy people have committed crimes.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, anytime you're dealing with a free market justice system, it has to satisfy all parties involved. Now, there's no reason whatsoever to believe that all murders would be, you could buy your way out of any murder. I strongly suspect, in fact, that it would be up to the victim to determine whether they wanted, say, money or your life. And it may very well be that choice.
So you believe that in a free market system that someone would be able to be put to death?
I strongly suspect it would be that someone would be able to be put to death. I think that it would probably be very rare, but yeah, I have no reason to believe that the death penalty in and of itself would go away in a free market system. I strongly suspect if we're talking about a type of punishment which would essentially go away, it would probably be imprisonment.
Do you think that the individual who the murderer allegedly? Do you think that person should be able to be just picked up by, say, an insurance company's agents or that sort of thing, or should they have to voluntarily enter the arbitration courtroom?
Well, there are definitely some different ways of looking at that sort of thing. I would say that if put it this way, if they were if they did not produce themselves, you always open yourself up to the possibility that you will simply have someone literally taking the law into their own hands. I mean, if you were in your own home, let's say, and someone who you knew broke into it and killed someone you loved right before your eyes and then managed to get away, whether or not they could be held justifiably by some third party would be pretty much irrelevant. I mean, you can go there and take care of it yourself. If somebody wants to challenge you on the matter, then you can produce your evidence at that point. It will probably be in the accused's best interest to show up for something because you don't want to expose yourself to just random acts of vigilante justice.
Yeah, that's absolutely the case. I agree with that. Mark, you had a question?
My concern is that you were saying that the death penalty would exist. I don't know. It doesn't seem like it would because although there is definitely a demand for the death penalty, especially in America, I mean, there's half of the population likes the idea of the death penalty. There's also the problem that it's going to be doled out statistically once every 100, once every 50 times, inaccurately, at least under our current system.
Which is why the arbitrator would be very, very unlikely to dole that out, because if it turned out that they made a mistake, that would sink them. Putting someone to death would sink their business, whereas if they just put somebody in some sort of a work camp or whatever, then they could simply release them and pay them back. It would be a big black mark on their reputation, but it wouldn't necessarily sink their business.
I think you're actually underestimating the impact of the death penalty in this case. One of the reasons why I think it would be extremely rare is because you have to understand, in a market-based situation, one thing which is very critical to the modern justice system does not exist, and that is sovereign immunity.
What do you mean?
Anyone who was sentencing someone to death erroneously is essentially guilty of murder, and the very same penalty can come back at them. So you
need
to be very careful about issuing any sort of penalties along that line. Like I say, it will be an extraordinarily rare thing for someone to actually be put to death, but I do not believe that it will be completely unheard of.
If you've got a victim who's very emotional, and Eric in Michigan pointed out that he might want that person to spend forever in prison or might want them to die, even though he said personally he was against the death penalty, a lot of people say, a lot of the victims' families and that sort of thing, they get very upset. They want to see somebody pay, so-called. They want to see somebody die.
I'm against the death penalty, but I'd likely hunt down and shoot the person that did it, that killed my mother.
But you understand, then you are never going to get any return value from that person. There's no way. If that person's dead, you're never going to get restitution. And if you're under a system where you understand that if there's a crime committed, you as the victim or somebody, you know, the victim's family, somebody who's been harmed in some way, had a value removed from your life, would have, you know, then your choice would be, okay, I can kill this person, the murderer, and never receive a single dime in payment, and I could guess feel good about that, or I can let this person toil away in some sort of work prison or give me a cut of his paycheck for the rest of his life. You know, I think that there'd be a severe financial incentive for people to take the money.
I can see that in some ways that's a worse punishment, but what kind of return value would I get as a adult son of a woman who lives 1,400 miles away from me? I mean, I'm my mother's only relation, and what kind of value would I get? I'm an adult. It's not like she sends me money. She doesn't take care of me. You know, her work doesn't produce anything for me. There's an inheritance, but likely the murderer increased my inheritance, not depleted it.
Well, I mean, again, it's you could get whatever value you wanted to, whatever value you felt was worthwhile.
I miss my mom.
Yeah, essentially, it's going to end up being, say, a market response. I think the thing, like I said, the thing that's probably going to go away would be imprisonment. Like, his idea of having Bill Gates locked up for the rest of his life would really, I mean, that might work as long as you're taking Bill Gates' money, but that wouldn't work with any sort of, with just every sort of crime, because there may simply not be the finances available to make a particular punishment something that would actually exist. I mean, someone might want someone banished to an alien planet for murder, but that's practically not possible. It costs $300 billion to get there or whatever. So, that it's definitely true that certain punishments just would not exist in the free market because there's no combination of demands plus means to actually produce it.
Right. When it comes to a prisoner having to work in some sort of a work prison, a percentage of his paycheck inevitably would go to support the prison itself. And, of course, depending on how violent or how dangerous that prisoner is, if they're like a madman nutcase like a Charles Manson, then they're going to have to be in some sort of a high-security prison, which inevitably means that a higher percentage of his paycheck will be taken in order to support the prison. So there's just really, yeah, economics becomes a really important factor. It's not like the government world where they can just take as much money from the populace as they want in order to imprison people.
Right, but like I said, I really don't think you're going to see very much in the way of prisons. I think that, you know, once you get past restitution, and most punishments are going to tend to be instantaneous in nature just because of the amount of cost that's involved, along with the amount of risk of escape and all that sort of stuff whenever you start dealing with a
right.
prison situation. I think that it would be very, very, very rare that you would actually have someone in prison, because that's just generally not really a very sensible way of punishing
someone. Yeah, I agree. I agree with you. I think that prison would be very, very rare in that it would only be reserved for the most psychopathic of nut jobs, because, you know, you've got to keep those people in a cell. But if somebody just was in a crime of passion, they made a mistake, they hurt somebody, that's somebody that you don't want to necessarily take out of the economy. You want them to be able to work in the real world and then just ensure that they're paying some sort of restitution to the victims. If they refuse to pay the restitution, then maybe they'd be put into a cell for a little while or something like that.
Yep.
Very good, Rob. Thanks for the call. We appreciate it. 800-259-9231. You take control of the airwaves. Bring up anything. Tom in New Hampshire, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yeah, first of all, just on the outside chance that Bill Gates is listening, relax. Nobody thinks that you're crazy enough to go out there and just start killing anybody. We're just talking about, just for example, if something like that ever did happen.
He happens to be the richest man in the world.
Not anymore.
He's not? Yeah.
Nope. Mexican gentleman is now the richest man in the world.
Ah, well, there you go.
So, what people have got to do is look at the history of the War of the Rebellion, the Civil War, and look at what people did during that war, because a lot of things happened there that might happen when the United States government either collapses under its own weight or forces the states to secede.
What's give me an example of that, Tom.
Well, the currency became worthless. There was a breakdown of law and order because, you know, neither Virginia nor West Virginia was able to govern a certain town for a while. For instance, there's breakdowns and there's no court. People had to hide a lot of their food.
Yeah, it certainly would be a mess. There's no doubt about it. Thanks for the call. Our team's on the way. You can take control. This is Free Talk Live.
Do you believe in liberty? Are you an activist or organization that wants to spread the message of freedom to others? Now introducing the Liberty Card. It's the perfect resource for anyone new to the message of liberty. It features a full-spectrum political quiz and over a dozen pro-liberty websites, including Free Talk Live, Downsize DC, and others. Every defender of freedom must have this card. Free Talk Live listeners receive free shipping. For more information, visit libertycard.org.
Looking for profits? Looking for safety and security? The $10 Olympic commemorative gold coin offers both. This low mintage collector coin, with a total series mintage under $600,000, has sold at four times its current price. Falling dollar values and inflation make this likely to happen again. Secure your position today. Call Midas Resources at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.